So welcome to Vivian Hua from Northwest Film Forum and to Joseph Hernandez from the North Bend Film Fest. We're going to talk to them today and get to know them a little bit and see what's going on with some great films coming out. So first of all, I wanted to know, Vivian, if you could tell me about the Northwest Film Forum and what you do there and what is the group?
Oh my, okay. So I'm the executive director at Northwest Film Forum. I just had my 2-year anniversary. It's been the longest 2 years of my life, but in a good way, I think. And we are an independent film center. We have 2 cinemas. We also do education and workshops and fiscal sponsorship for filmmakers. So we kind of do like everything, honestly, for a pretty small team.
Wow, that's interesting. So did you say that you also have actual theaters?
Yeah, we have 2 cinemas. Yeah, in Capitol Hill and Seattle.
Oh my gosh, and what are their names?
They don't have names. It's all in the same building. So the building is Northwest Film Forum, and there's 2 theaters in there. One's like 117, one's 49. And we're next door to the police station that was where all of the, you know, Capitol Hill Occupy protest stuff happened was we were in it.
Yikes. Well, it makes for interesting times anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Not the most peaceful times, but some interesting times for sure. I think there's a proverb somewhere that's kind of a curse that says, may you live in interesting times, which is, you don't want to be so interesting. Okay. So Northwest Film Forum does do an awful lot. Now, don't you also curate a number of children's films?
Yeah, so we have 4 kind of in-house film festivals. One is the Children's Film Festival Seattle, which is probably what you're referring to. We just had our local Sightings Film Festival, which is Pacific Northwest Films and Media Makers. And we also have a Cadence Video Poetry Festival and a By Design Design and Architecture Festival.
Ooh. Oh, that's very interesting. I like that. And now we'll turn the microscope over to Joseph here, and we'll examine Joseph. Joseph, what do you do at North Bend Film Fest, and what's North Bend Film Fest all about?
Okay, so hi, my name is Joseph. I am the senior programmer for the North Bend Film Festival. We are in our 3rd year now. This year's edition is going to be a part of the collective virtual festival called Nightstream, and we can talk about that in a little bit. But North Bend Film Festival is a genre film and immersive storytelling film festival that takes place in the magical town of North Bend, Washington. And we get to call the beautiful North Bend Theater our home.
Yay!
And ever since we started, we just instantly fell in love with the town, and it worked so well for the identity of our festival and trying to show genre films that skew on the strange, surreal vibe. And then also, we're a very forward-thinking festival. We have, like I said, half of our programming during the festival is dedicated to VR and immersive experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting take that you guys do the virtual reality. Was last year the first time that you did that?
It's been like that since year one.
Oh, okay.
It's only grown since then. It's had a larger presence at the festival. From year one to year two.
Nice. That's neat to see something grow like that. So you said that North Bend Film Festival has been around for 3 years, and you've been there since the inception of that. And what is your connection to the Brooklyn Film School?
So I started in film festivals at the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met a couple of the founders of North Bend Film Festival. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a new project for us. Mm-hmm. At the time, Jess Byers was a producer at the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival, and he's from Seattle, and he kind of had this idea that this town would be perfect for a film festival, and it kind of went from there. But I still program for the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival. We're in our fifth year with that festival, and we are also part of the Nightstream event this year.
Great. That's excellent to hear. And you know what? It's really an honor that you guys chose North Bend to hold your, you could have gone to any small town, but you know, we're really honored that you decided to come to us, and we hope that we can do whatever we can to help grow the North Bend Film Fest, including any Northwest Film Forum films also. And so Vivian, you said that you had been executive director there for about 2 years. How long has the whole Northwest Film Forum been around?
We just kind of had our 25th anniversary celebration, so.
Wow, 25 years. Woo! Congratulations, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It was really interesting kind of going back and talking with, you know, a lot of the original people and figuring out all these like crazy stories about like the build out of the space and people who had come. And yeah, there's just so much history with an organization that's been around for that period of time and gone through so many shifts.
Right. That's neat. We're trying to piece together a history of the theater, and it's not easy. It's not ever been written down, and records have been just everywhere, but we're going to be 80 years old next year. And we get to see some like newspaper clippings. And it's interesting that they used to show like 2 and 3 movies per day, you know, back in the 40s and 50s. And so how did they keep up with that schedule? I mean, it's incredible to me that they were able to do that. So it is fun to look back at a history of an organization. And Joseph, we'll go back to you. If you could tell me what kind of drew you to be you know, part of the Brooklyn Film School and the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival and then North Bend Film Fest. What drew you to that?
So I grew a tremendous love for acting out of high school, and that kind of got me to really start studying performances in films. And my love for film just grew from there. And then I discovered film festivals. I started attending them, and I saw how much fun I had at them, how excited I would get when they would announce their program, and I would like schedule my itinerary and all the stuff I was gonna go see. And I was, you know, I just thought to myself that I really, really get so much joy out of this. I should like get a job doing this. So it was so wonderful. I mean, I thought, okay, I love horror films. That's my favorite genre. Mm-hmm. Let me see if there's a horror film festival that I can apply to. And I was living in New York at the time. And I found the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival. It was brand new. They hadn't even launched their first edition yet. Mm-hmm. I sent an email, and that same day I was on the phone with one of the founders, and I was brought on board, and it worked out just like that. And then I just, you know, I did my best to kind of prove myself and to show that I really cared and that I was capable of doing whatever, you know, whatever the festival needed help with. And and it led to me getting the job that I did want, which was programmer.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's nice. So you get to have a major say in what's picked every year, correct?
Yeah. I love having an opportunity to, you know, screen all the films coming in and have a, you know, have a voice in the room and help choose which films we're going to support, you know, which films, you know, do we want to include in the program. It's a great, like, I mean, I'm just watching movies. I mean, I can't complain.
Oh, very neat. And Vivian, same kind of question for you. What kind of drew you to the Northwest Film Forum?
It's hard to explain. It's kind of a series of coincidental circumstances that landed me here, honestly. I made my first film in LA and had kind of kept an eye on film form from like afar. And then someone introduced me to them, and there was kind of a joint film screening series that we worked on around my film and similar films that, around anti-Islamophobia issues at the time. And it was right around the time the Muslim ban was happening. So I don't know. I started working together with them as a community organizer, basically, and became a graphic designer here, moved up from LA. The old ED left, and then it just was kind of fortuitous.
So you grew into it, and but it's
Basically,
unique
yeah.
that you bring more of a filmmaker viewpoint to things, since that's where you came from. That's where your roots were, right?
Yeah, and it's actually aligned with the organization's histories, because the organization was actually founded as a three-person filmmaker collective. And there were certain EDs that were not filmmakers, but actually, for the most part, most of them were in the organization's history.
Neat. Oh, that's very cool to hear. So Vivian, what would you say is your favorite part of what you do today?
I think our organization is one of the art house cinemas that's sort of on, I guess, like in a position to do a lot of change related to kind of racial equity and diversity in the space of art houses. And that, I think that's like the most exciting thing for me and kind of what brings me to this work at all.
So using film to make a positive impact, in that, I mean, really a big impact on people's viewpoints, and show them perhaps some different perspectives.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's neat. Now, what is your least favorite part of what you do?
My first like 9-to-5 job in like a million years. Like I was a freelancer for 10 years before doing this role, so I'm still getting used to the schedule thing. But the pandemic has actually made that easier, so yay.
That's true. Cuts down on that commute, doesn't it?
Exactly.
And Joseph, what is your very favorite part? I would assume it's getting to view all the films, but you tell me, what's your favorite part?
Yeah, I mean, I love being able to, get an early look at these films and feel like my, my taste in film is respected and all that. But honestly, I think the best part of my job is that like I have a meaningful way to positively affect the industry. I mean, as a film festival, especially nowadays where there's so much content everywhere you look, you're drowning in things that you can watch. The film festivals have actually grown in importance now, because the film festivals are there to tell you, we know there's so much to watch, but you should make time for this, and this. It's that curatorial aspect of it that is still so important, especially, in this like widened landscape where you have everything from TikToks to 14-hour documentaries. I mean, there's just so much to watch. So I love film, and for me, this is a way that I can make a real difference in the industry and help filmmakers be seen and help them on their journeys and their careers. And it's a very satisfying it's a really satisfying thing for me.
I love that. I love that you both have kind of higher purposes to what it is you like to make happen. So I enjoy that a lot. Now, Joseph, I'll stick with you. I'm going to pick on you again.
Sure.
What are your, we can talk about Nightstream, and then also I would like you to kind of formulate, what are your future plans and hopes for North Bend Film Festival?
Sure. Okay. Well, with Nightstream is this big virtual team up, basically. a bunch of genre festivals in the US teamed up, and you know, in lieu of their physical editions not being able to go forward because of the pandemic, you know, no one wants to cancel. You know, this is, it's what film festivals provide, the service that they provide is still needed. Just because, you know, we're quarantined doesn't mean that no one wants to watch movies anymore. Just because we're quarantined doesn't mean that now all these awesome films that were just made, now they have to just like sit in a void and just collect dust, and all the work that went in now gets left unappreciated and just has to sit on a shelf. Like, for us, it was like, okay, we can't do the festival in the normal way, so how do we adapt to still be able to do what we do? And that's what Nightstream is for all of us. And yeah, we got together and we created a massive program, bigger than anything that we've done individually at Brooklyn Horror or North Bend, to show that it wasn't just going to be, oh, we're just going to like, just to do something, we're going to do something. No, we're going to make this a special event. And and yeah, and I mean, not just films, but the events are a lineup of events is staggering. Yeah. You have talks with Candyman's Nia DaCosta. You have the 20th anniversary talk with Mary Harron on American Psycho. We have the drag queen legend Peaches Christ hosting two separate events. We have a horror comics panel. There's this amazing lecture on Mexican fantasy and horror cinema, a Masters of Horror dinner. I mean, the list goes on and on. And it's like, you know, it's just amazing to kind of be able to like give this gift to, you know, the horror and genre film community. And like here, like we've all been through a lot, and a lot of events have not been able to go forward, and it's a bummer, but here's something that we can do and enjoy safely.
Yes. And it's almost as if you can do maybe even a little more, it sounds. I mean, that's such a full schedule. I got my badge, so we're ready to go. so, yes. And what do you think about future hopes and plans for the film festival?
Yeah, I mean, with North Bend Film Festival, we, you know, we love what we do. And, you know, the more attention we can get, you know, the more people that we can get willing to travel in and experience the festival. It's all about growth from here on out. It's how do we continue to expand the reach of the festival's name and grab the attention of filmmakers all over, you know, the world, to want to show their films with us. I mean, it's all of that is tied together. And and then on the, you know, VR and immersive side, still holding true to that mission of like trying to be on the forefront of whatever's going on that side of the industry, and always you know, pushing whatever new tech and new things that are new ways of storytelling that are being created, and really, you know, putting our support behind it.
Right. Oh, well, I love that, and I know it's very much appreciated by everyone who goes. I really want to get more people in on this, and it's, you're right, it's something very special and unique. And Vivian, I'm going to ask you the same question. What are kind of the future hopes and plans that you have there at Northwest Film Forum?
Well, honestly, like Nightstream, I find to be a super inspiring model in the COVID time. I think it's something I am curious to explore with our upcoming video poetry festival, actually, if there are similar niche festivals that we could work with, given the lack of geographical boundary for once. So good job, you all. It's like such an inspiring festival. It's really cool. And I think that kind of partnership and collaboration is what we're just generally about and want to push more in the future. I mean, we've been working with North Bend Film Festival on like a monthly storytelling series with Emmett Montgomery. It's called Strange Storytelling with Emmett Montgomery. And it's just different people get invited to tell bizarre stories about dreams or strange things that have happened to them. And doing more of that kind of thing is.
And so more collaboration, more reaching out now that you're not set by, you know, Washington, now you can reach out even further.
Yeah, so. And another thing is that I think moving forward, we're probably gonna continue to have all of our festivals like both. Because to Joseph's point, kind of like the role of festivals and art houses to be a curator in this time where everyone has Netflix, but honestly, like, don't even really want to watch half the stuff on Netflix a lot of time, but are still doing it out of like automatic whatever. We've definitely found that our more highly curated stuff still gets more uptake than just films we might be reshowing from distributors. So I think there is still like this appetite for highly curated content, almost in the way that, like, I worked in the music industry for a long time. So like record labels are like, you know, to trust their taste for like a certain style of thing. I feel like festivals and art houses definitely are playing that role right now.
Nice. It is. It's great to have recommendations to go on because you're right. I think Joseph pointed out that there's so much out there. I mean, I've watched some real stinkers, you know, during this time. So it's nice if you can get someone's opinion to say, hey, this is good. You're going to enjoy it. Stay with it. I think that means a lot to everyone. So I think we'll wrap it up shortly. But I have one final question for both of you. I need you to tell me your favorite top three movies. Now, I didn't say your favorite movie because that's too hard for me to choose because I have different genres that I have my favorites in. So now, who should I start with? Should I start with Joseph or Vivian? I'm going to pick on Joseph. Okay. Joseph, your top favorite movies.
Yeah. So, you know, that question is always a struggle because when you watch as many movies as I do, you know, it's impossible to, you know, choose a like definitive list of like, these are all better than the rest. But you do find films that you find yourself just constantly thinking about, films that you return to time and time again that provide you something new with every watch and that you just appreciate it. And then when someone asks you that question, these are the films that like pop into your mind. So for me, it's Pan's Labyrinth. It's Whiplash. And it's A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, okay. Classic. And if you could pick out an element that made that you really liked, was it the actual filmmaking or the story or both?
Well, Pan's Labyrinth is my favorite film from Guillermo del Toro. And I think when I finally take that leap into filmmaking, like that's the first person I want to work with. And with A Nightmare on Elm Street, that's the first film that terrified me as a child. But not only did it terrify me, it made me so curious. It was like, that's where I got that, where I got the bug, where it was like, it scares me, but I still want to watch it. That power that horror films have over me.
Yeah.
And then with Whiplash, that was probably my most memorable film festival screening. It was a film that when the credits rolled, I had to jump out of my seat and applaud. I was so blown away. And I'll always remember that moment. There was no like embarrassment or shame in that action. I just felt so compelled to show my appreciation in some way for what I just witnessed. And I think those would be my reasons for why I wanted to single those films out.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that makes me want to go back and watch a couple of those myself. Okay, Vivian, what do you think? What are your top three favorite movies?
Okay, I'm going to give you two that are like consistently my top fave, and then one that's like a more recent favorite that I haven't rewatched since I saw it twice in the theater. So I don't know if it like holds up for that reason. Mm-hmm. But my longtime eternal favorite is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And that's like one of the few films that I feel like I can go back and watch a million times and it doesn't age badly. And it still makes me want to make a film that's like that. Mm-hmm. So that one for sure. Mm-hmm. Magnolia, I like a lot. Paul Thomas Anderson. Mm-hmm. And Blindspotting is a 2018 film by Carlos Lopez Estrada, and it stars David Diggs, and it's about two like best friends growing up in like a gentrifying Oakland. It's like an action comedy drama.
Yeah,
but I like that one a lot as well.
Oh, very neat. Wow, those are some different choices that I hadn't thought of before. So I'll have to, you guys have just filled up my weekend. Oh gosh, I can't.
Shoot. What are yours?
Mine. Oh, I'm very, very old school. I love classic movies. So I reach way back when I talk about my favorite movies. So, and a lot of them people don't know. So, I mean, everybody seems to know, you know, Casablanca. Yes, that's... But some of the other classics are like, what? But so I would say Casablanca for sure. I can't remember the name of it. Oh, my stars. You know, the one with Gregory Peck and Scout and Boo and, oh. Just,
oh, sure, yeah.
You know. It's A Sin to Kill a Mockingbird. What?
There you go. To Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird. Oh my God. Oh, what a
horrible. Oh, thank God it can be edited.
That's right. Please. Out my shame. That was embarrassing.
Never actually, asked you that question. Didn't happen at all.
can I give a shout out to two films that are in Nightstream that are from Pacific Northwest filmmakers?
Absolutely, please do.
So we're showing a film called Survival Skills. Uh-huh. And this is from a Seattle filmmaker, Quinn Armstrong. And it's this like darkly comic faux police training video. And then that it morphs into like a potent commentary on the failings of law enforcement and our like, social institutions. Super smart and it's pretty incredible. And then we're showing the world premiere of Frank and Zed, this like super fun Jim Henson like puppet horror film from a Portland director named Jesse Blanchard. And the craft in that film is just ridiculously impressive, and it's so much fun.
It's awesome. Yes.
Neat.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for that shout out. We'll try to make a special mention of them also, since you recommended them so highly. So for now, I just want to say thank you to you both very, very much for having this conversation and a nice chat and letting people get to know you a little bit and get to know your organizations. Very, very fine. I love the larger missions that you're both on. To curate good films out there. So keep it up, keep up the good work, and we'll make sure we're there on the other end to receive that. So I'll say thank you very much and goodbye for now, but I hope to talk to you again in the future.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you. We'll talk later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.